Silverio. All right, got a little Nancy Griffith listening to the radio there. Hello, this is Sandra Otten. Welcome to WEFT Vision 2020, occasional program of information about WEFT. WEFT Vision 2020 is what we're calling our plan that we're making, our strategic five-year plan, to try to help WEFT make a transition into being alive 5 years from now. And in my studio today, I have guest Chris Evans. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, folks. I'm from Radio Free Urbana, but also been a longtime listener. I've listened to WEFT since it came on the air in 1981. So
Chris was reliving for me the first time he ever heard WEFT.
That's right. I was in an art class, and it was a Thursday night, and Rasta James came on. It was pretty, it was my first time with reggae at that time. And I just remember growing up with WEFT and what an important station it was for just the ambience of the town, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a part of the landscape of Champaign-Urbana for those who know about WEFT. But there's so many people, as Chris and I have been discussing, and a lot of people have been discussing. If you ask people if they know about WEFT out in the community, it's often not. You get about 9 out of 10 who have never even heard of WEFT, certainly if you count the students in there.
Wow. I think the nature of media, maybe, you know, one of the things that we're dealing with is the way media consumption has changed over the last 30 years with the internet, the rise of the internet, and the rise of the devices that we have. And, you know, where is radio fit? This is an old technology.
It's true, but I'm just going to interrupt you to tell you that surprisingly, we're going to get to a lot of things today, but I want to start just by telling you that you are listening to WEFT 90.1 FM streaming online at weft.org. And one of the things that we will be talking about today is how relevant radio is and how relevant community radio is, but I will just throw out that 59% of the population still listens to radio on a daily basis.
That's great to know.
It is great to know.
And it mostly happening in the cars, we would imagine? We don't know.
A lot of it does. A lot of it does, yeah. But it still happens. So 59% of listen to radio on a daily basis. And that is on the radio.
That's on a real radio.
Yeah. That's right. So there, and on online listening is, I think 20% of those people listen. That's right. 20% of those 59% listen online, but they're listening to radio stations.
Okay.
And that's the current statistics. And we got that from a study that some research that was done by a University of Illinois class. Noel Hayden's class, who he's helping us integrate some studying and some work that his MBA classes are willing to do for us. So we'll be talking about that during this hour. We're also going to be talking about a little bit about our budget. We're going to be talking about other community radio stations in the area. Not in the area, but in the Midwest, actually, WORT in Madison, where Chris has done an internship kind of thing before.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, two-week internship and helped them produce their news.
Right. So they're one of the models that we're following because they are a very successful radio station, community radio station in a market very, very much like Champaign-Urbana.
Are they 40 years old now? I mean, they're getting close to 40.
I'm not even sure about that.
But. Yeah, but they've been around as long as WEFT, if not longer.
Mm-hmm. And then the other model that we're looking at, one of them is in Bloomington, Indiana. And so we'll be talking about those. And there's another one out in Boulder, Colorado that the NFCB, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, has suggested we look at their station also because they're a financially viable station, thriving station, serving their community. And the NFCB is the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, who we as a board of directors are consulting with. So right now, I do need to tell you that the views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the WEFT, its board of directors, associates, station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated. As a full disclosure, I am a member of the board of directors. Today, I'm speaking for myself, although I will be telling you about things that the board of directors has passed. We're going to talk about the resolutions that were passed in October. And I joined the board in August with the very clear mission of helping WEFT make a transition. I have loved WEFT for as long as I've been in town, 20 years, and I was an active participant in this media as well as many other forms of media. I got my teeth wet in teeth wet. <That's
funny. laughs> Something like that.
Yeah. I cut my teeth in journalism. I was reliving that today. Like, when did I start? Besides working at the Octopus, I was a writer, an illustrator, and community calendar coordinator and distribution manager for the Octopus for 4 or 5 years.
Alternative newspaper in town.
That's
right. It was
right.
One of the first, I think it came out in around the early 90s. And I remember that it was the Optimist when it first came out.
That's right.
And then in the mid 90s, changed to the Octopus. And that was the only competition against the News Gazette at the time.
So we need to talk about how news is made, because that's one of the big issues with every successful community radio station that we are looking at as models. They all have local news being made. They have journalists, citizens journalists, volunteer journalists, and sometimes paid staff almost in every case, paid staff organizing those volunteer and citizens journalists making news. So we'll be talking a little bit about that also. Just going to start with the concept of community radio. In the U.S., community radio stations are nonprofit, community-based operations licensed by the FCC for broadcasting in the non-commercial public portion of the FM band. These stations differ from other public radio outlets in the U.S. by allowing community volunteers to actively participate as broadcasters. U.S. community radio stations generally have smaller budget than what you would think of as NPR stations, the National Public Radio Network outlets, due to small audience of potential contributors and business donors, and may use web-based services such as Spinatron to track their playlist, which is the case with WEFT. Community radio stations are distinct from NPR stations, which sometimes you could say are public stations, but not community stations. Most community radio program is locally produced by non-professional disc jockeys and producers, although a few have honed their skills well enough to launch professional radio careers, as people have from WEFT. Whereas NPR relies more on syndicated programming from its own sources and other outlets such as PRI. NPR stations almost always have paid staffs to handle most duties. Community stations often try, as a matter of principle, to reduce their dependence on financial contributors from corporations and governments in comparison with other public broadcasters. Many community radio stations are licensed as full-power FM stations, as WEFT is, while others, especially new community stations founded after 2005, are licensed under the low-power broadcasting rules, which WRFU is.
Right. Yeah. That's right. We are 100 watts of blaring power.
That's right.
And I think it goes as far west as Neal Street. We get most of Urbana, but the signal's best west, east of Neal Street.
Your signal is right out of the IMC at the old post office.
One of the few radio stations in the country with its own tower.
There you go. We do not have our own tower. We broadcast from downtown Champaign at 113 North Market. We have a some kind of a receiver on the 44 East Main building, and then it bounces out to Mahomet, which is where our tower is. So we broadcast literally from Mahomet is where our station resonates.
Which explains, I think, WEFT's clarity in the surrounding CU environs. You can pick it up in the Savoy, you can pick it up in Rantoul,
right.
And it's a very clear signal. I think it's one of the best things I like about WEFT is its reliability.
Yeah, 40 miles really is basically our radius from Mahomet, I think is how it goes. Mm-hmm. So many community stations are full power, as we are. I think 10,000 watts is our wattage. Yeah. Many of the former were founded in the 60s and 70s when culture experimentation, such as the New Left in the U.S., had significant following, particularly among the young. Some of the largest and best-known community radio stations are those owned by nonprofit Pacifica Foundation, including WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFT in Houston, and many community radio stations are affiliates of the Pacific Radio Network, such as we are. So WEFT is an affiliate of Pacifica. They are currently waiving our dues because we have not been able to afford to pay them the last couple of years, but they are still honoring us as a Pacifica affiliate.
And that gives you the Pacifica news feed, right?
I can't be clear on that right now. It would, I think, but I don't think we're actually using it. Okay. So I'm not sure about that. So some of the this was written by Kevin Elliott, who helped me. He's my husband.
You know him.
I do. He's been a longtime WEFTie, has had a show on Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 o'clock, from the Joshua Tree Inn, the best in folk, country, bluegrass, and all those regions in between. And he is helping be a liaison with the university class that I talked about, and he mm-hmm. will be probably doing that in the next semester. In the last semester, we had an MBA class study WEFT, Common Ground Food Co-op, and then they also studied one other enterprise, which was the guy who makes the berry in Urbana. He has a company that harvests berries and then makes jams and stuff out of it. What they're called, the currant berries? They're not currant. They're something else. Anyway, they took three different organizations and studied them and then gave us sort of a marketing plan that they felt would be helpful. It's interesting reading, and certainly one of the things that I got out of it right away is, oh my God, why aren't we using interns? Like they had, you know, why do we not have interns in here to make a liaison just an easy, very easy, we need labor, they need work, and they're interested in communications. And so.
And in places like this can serve as a very good resume builder for students looking to pad their resume and give them some working experience in the media.
Absolutely.
The Independent Media Center, which houses the Radio Free Urbana radio station, the Independent Media Center. We can talk about that later, but it does a milieu of things. But one of the things that we're looking into as well over there, and you were at the Independent Media Center for a while, we are looking to get interns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of a community share where they get experience and we get the help that mm-hmm. we need.
Yeah, I have a request in to meet with Latrell Bright, who's the IMC's director, and we just haven't been able to meet yet with regard, you know, because of the holidays and all, but we definitely are looking for ways to collaborate.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of the key things to be able to drive both of our stations into the next century is like how are we going to be able to collaborate with regard to training people to do podcasts, to use our intern program, you know, to make local news. IMC and WEFT has had a long time collaboration. We produced the IMC radio news out of the IMC. Lori Serb, our station manager, reminded me that it often got biked over on Fridays at 5 o'clock. And I was like, yeah, I know. I remember that. I was producing it, handing the CD off, and somebody was biking it over to the studio.
And this was in the early 2000s, we should say, like 2001, 2002, in that range. Mm-hmm.
I'm remembering that probably about, that's right. I don't do well with dates, but
I do remember the half hour program that was every Friday mm-hmm. on WEFT, and it was produced by the IMC, and we can talk about the quality and character of local news production.
Uh-huh.
But that was a very special program that was all grassroots journalists making.
It was. My big claim to fame was what almost happened when I had an interview set up with a wannabe Illinois Senator Barack Obama, and he stood me up.
Oh.
I know.
You could have interviewed a future president.
I know. I had the interview. I was like waiting by the phone. He was, and I got a call instead from his aide who had to cancel.
Who
for
is
him.
This funny name guy named Barack?
I know, who I said will never ever be elected in Illinois with a name like that. I told Clint Popetz, who was producing the radio news with me at that time.
I especially thought that after 9/11 because I didn't think anybody would be attracted to a Muslim sounding
name. Okay, we're going to get off. Start talking about news content here, Chris and I could talk all day.
But back to internships.
Well, right, and also collaboration. So another collaboration that is really very possible is the collaboration with the Public Eye, which I'm also you and I both are founding members of the Public Eye, which is a newspaper that's produced monthly out of the Independent Media Center, and just a very natural collaboration. As a matter of fact, I've been really deeply exploring how other community radio stations are making news, and one of them is that they are doing an interview with the authors of the local, indie rag, which is the Public Eye these days. It's what we have, and they do a great job of, as a matter of fact, I think last month, Weft was actually one of the feature articles, or 2 months ago, and we will be again in a couple months.
And I would like to see the reverse happen where authors go on the radio from the Public Eye to have a kind of a go around among the writers. That wouldn't rely on them actually doing the producing, but
what I was talking about. Actually, at Reserve, like doing an interview. Oh, okay. So somebody from Weft would be doing an interview. So one of the things that Weft has a stumbling block is that we demand that everybody who goes on the air really has to be very adept at running the board and knowing all the ins and outs of being a Weft associate. And there are other places where they offer a little different model in that you certainly need, we'll call them the engineers, the people who are going to sit here and run the board to provide that service for people who are not interested in learning everything there is about radio production, but yet have content that is very valuable that if they didn't have to become an associate and go through all the But there's a balance there. I mean, we also need people to be associates. And in Weft language, that's somebody who has gone through the Airshifter training and has paid their dues to be a member, $40 a year, very low dues, and attends our associates meetings, that they have to attend the associates meetings twice a year and be a part of the Weft volunteer team. All right, so lots of stuff we're just riffing on here. But so we talked about what community radio is, and then we're going to talk about our current challenges.
I ask a quick question? Mm-hmm. What's the membership of Weft right now? When you say, because, in the definition of a community radio station, it said mostly volunteers. How many volunteers are there now?
Well, I understand that a figure that's thrown around, and I don't think there's any good hard rules on it, but I think we offer, 180 slots. So we think that we have 180 volunteers come in every week. At some point, there's 180 different people sitting in this chair or have a voice here.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. absolutely great. That's mm-hmm. Definitely something to build off of
Absolutely. So Weft is a community radio station which has operated out of Champaign, Illinois for approximately 34 years, broadcasting at 90.1 FM as well as streaming at weft.org for the past several years. During its history, Weft has been an outlet for community members who usually are not professional radio professionals to create program that is relevant to the programmer and to interested members of the community, whether focused on music, opinion, public affairs, arts, or other subject matters. Weft also has consistently provided syndicated program produced elsewhere for a nonprofit business relying mostly on volunteers, typically with few paid staff. The finances that are necessary to operate the station have historically come from listener contributions, which have accounted for 80% or more of the station's income and have been specifically solicited during twice-per-year fundraising periods or pledge drives. Pledge drives have tended to last from 2 to 4 weeks, depending on needs and response, and other funding has come from occasional special drives, for instance, to purchase the new transmitter. Power to the Tower was our drive last year. Periodic fundraising events such as concerts and art show, underwriting by local business, and grant funding. The grant funding has ranged from a few $1,000s per year to as much as $50 or $60. Weft currently and has for the past several years been experiencing financial hardship. Grant funding has been severely depleted while listener contributions have fallen considerably. Community support through underwriting relationships has been poor and inconsistent. Other fundraising has often involved considerable effort for less than adequate payoff. And these challenges have occurred while other media sources have grown, including many online, phone, and satellite options, among others. And, you know, not to paint that just in a negative light, that's just the reality of it. You know,
competition's greater.
It is. And yeah. And while we say underwriting relationships have been poor and inconsistent, well, that's just one way of, you know, we could also look at it, thank you very much to the underwriters we have. And we know that we can create better relationships with them, though, and can really do more for underwriters. We're going to be talking about that.
Yeah. And it's important to note that a community radio station can benefit the business community.
Absolutely.
And so it's a two-way street.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
One of those.
Definitely. Yeah. And while we're painting that, that's sort of like I'm giving you the outline that we gave that class when they were getting ready to study us. What's the background about WEF?
Right.
So we're giving you this business class challenge. So in addition to global problems for community radio in general, we've had struggles with internal conflict, problematic divisions of power, cumbersome policies and procedures, recurrent inconsistency in vision for the station, and difficulty with retention and recruitment of volunteers. Enthusiasm has ebbed and flowed. Programming has had some consistency, but many changes as well. And we have been struggling because we had to grow as any nonprofit does, right? So I went to a series of nonprofit classes and this year out at Parkland and really learned about the evolution of nonprofits. And we kind of got caught in our teenager stage here.
is that where we're at?
Yeah. Okay. We're kind of in the little, okay. We kind of just got getting over the teenager stage and going to get into young adulthood here.
Okay.
Non-for-profits have to change. They cannot, yeah. You know, they have different ways of starting then, and they have to evolve. We have to think of how we are going to evolve just like any business does. We are a corporation. We're a not-for-profit corporation, but we are a corporation, and we have responsibilities. The board of directors has responsibilities to the corporation, you know, mm-hmm. to keeping this radio station alive and well. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to figure out methods of cooperating with each other. And it's very challenging. That we're talking about it earlier on the Labor Hour about how different models of cooperation. So we're a democracy. We operate as a democracy here, and that's great. And there are ways that you can be more efficient as a democracy and less efficient, you know. So we need to just keep strengthening and looking at one of the things the NFCB says is that our governance model is really kind of outdated. It's how a lot of community stations operated in the very beginning, and sort of in the counterculture where everybody gets a voice in everything and you let every member vote on almost everything. Mm-hmm. And it really has to evolve because of how fast everything changes in 2015.
And things get bigger.
Yeah, and they change fast. I mean, you have to be able to respond to the fact that, you know, that you can't take a year and a half to make an app for your phone because you have somebody who, you know, who's insisting that, you know, everything doesn't have to be scrutinized by every person. You have to really use the system of
delegation,
and trust. Right.
Well, I we were having the same kind of growing pains at the Independent Media Center, where we went from kind of that hippie consensus, everybody in a circle, everybody's equal. And while that's still true, we've had to, you know, have a board of directors. We have to have, you know, bylaws and structural documents and sort of where things go and who's responsible for what.
Right. Because when we're all volunteers, if we're all absolutely all volunteers, it's very hard to be efficient because somebody can just say, you know, I got to go do this or I got to go do that. And then you're left in the lurch because a volunteer has no really how much ongoing commitment do they have. So you do have to have enough staff perhaps, or you have to have enough procedures written to have consistency over time.
Right.
Well, anyway, let's just go on to some of the challenges. In addition to challenges, WEFT has significant resources. To have a license to broadcast over the airwaves is a wonderful asset that we cannot lose.
People forget and are unaware of how hard it is to get a broadcast license on a bandwidth. I know that it took 6 years to get Radio Free Urbana's, and I would imagine it took 6 years prior to 1981 for WEFT to get theirs. These are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. These are broadcast real estate that is heavily competed for. There are major corporations that would love to own every bandwidth and blast you with advertising and whatnot. Yep. And so it is lucky that WEFT has this nice little spot and has had this spot. So
we also own our building in downtown Champaign, a two-story brick structure with a full basement. We own our own transmitter, which was purchased for $50,000 a few years ago, as well as other studio and broadcasting hardware. We have a nice little studio here, don't we, Chris?
You do, and that you own it. That's beautiful.
I know. WEFT has at least a few $1,000s in the bank in savings and checking accounts and certificates as deposits. Actually, I think we have $35,000 plus in the bank right now. So it's not like we are losing money every year. But that's like to the tune of somewhere between 15 and 17,000, which is not an insurmountable hurdle to turn around. So we're not going anywhere. We're not going off the air. We have $35,000 in the bank in a building that we own, but we do have to figure out how to change in order to turn around that deficit.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
The station has a rich history of content and strong local and remote relationships. Seriously, like the quality of some of the programming here on WEFT is unparalleled, really. I'll just brag on Kevin's show for a minute, it is quality programming.
How long, by the way? It's probably 15 years now.
I think he's been on the air 20 years.
Yeah.
And he researches his music. And this is one of the things that the NFCB has advised, that if you're going to have a show on, it has to be a music discovery show. You have to have DJs who are willing to do the research to help people discover new things about the genre of music that they're listening to.
They're curators.
Exactly.
And not just, you know, playing records.
Right.
You know?
Because you can listen to music anywhere on the web. You can. That's what people do. But they can't have somebody with the dedication and, you know, that Kevin has to research all this great music and get it in and listen to it and figure out what's the best in this genre and that genre, you know. And it's really a music discovery is a great thing that happens here at WEFT.
Yeah. And when you consider how much music is getting made nowadays, there are millions and millions and millions of musicians out there putting out published CDs. So it's not like you got to have a record label anymore.
No, right.
And so someone being able to go through that, all through the piles of all that music, even just in one genre,
mm-hmm.
is something that you just can't replace.
So that really goes
quality into program here at WEFT. That's what we're saying. Also, I want to pitch in that there are some of the best news programs. Not only is there great music on WEFT, but some of the news programs and public affairs programming I've listened to for decades. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really enjoy
it. Well, Democracy Now! Came on the air in what year? Do you remember when we got that, the War and Peace Report,
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah,
when
it would have been
on.
In 98 or 99, I think. But anyway, it is also, I was looking at WART and the Bloomington station and the Boulder station, and they all carry Democracy Now! As almost, you know, and we carry Democracy Now! And other syndicated programs. But the one that I really love is Deutsche Welle Radio News. Mm-hmm. Is played three times at the top of the hour in the morning. And I love having my morning start with listening to the fact that I can get a little snippet of the world news from a different point of view than mainstream U.S. media. And then I can go on to some music right away. So I can take it in that kind of dose. I can start my morning that way. So the resolution that was passed and
This is the board of directors.
This is the board of directors resolution. Yeah. So we were faced with, okay, we're really going to, we've decided, well, I'll just read the resolutions. Resolved to explore ways to keep WEFT financially solvent by seeking guidance and outside consultation, but not limit from NFCB, but not limited to them. We're also consulting with Daniel Chenoweth, who is a past WEFT board member and founder of the UCIMC and a former project manager at Prometheus Radio and is now at the Center for Media Justice. And she has donated her consulting fee and meets with me just about once a week to just brainstorm and just keep thinking about how we can keep thinking outside the box. You know, what else can we do? She's a great brainstormer.
There's a media organizer, a powerhouse.
Yeah, she is.
She obviously organized the Independent Media Center. And
was behind buying the building.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yep.
I remember I could go into long history
about
Daniel's
there you go.
amazement, but she is helping us think through. And as is Sally Kane with the NFCB. And Sally's making recommendations to us as to other consultants that we can use. We just recently had her make a recommendation to us, but we went through the hoops of interviewing, and she was, you know, it was basically she wanted to come over and do the consulting by conducting interviews, but meetings with all the stakeholders. So she wanted a meeting with the board of directors. She wanted a meeting with the associates. She wanted a meeting with the airshifters, different. And she was going to listen to them and present why and how we needed to change. And but she wanted $1,000 a day to do it. And when we really wanted some justification for the $1,000 a day, she didn't have she kind of got a little bit defensive, and I thought, well, if you don't understand WEFT well enough to know that I would have to justify why I was recommending $1,000 a day.
You don't understand the financial situation here.
Or not just the financial situation, but the temperament.
Right.
Of WEFT,
right.
And the understanding of that we don't pay somebody $1,000 a day to help
us. Not for consulting.
No, right. No. Well, and not that we wouldn't if she wasn't the absolute right person to do it and it was the right situation. But anyway, we're looking at all of our options and doing our own work and doing our own legwork as board members. I'll get to that in a minute. We resolved to explore every means necessary to keep WEFT terrestrial, not just a virtual radio station, while at the same time being responsive to the changing media delivery landscape. So, you know, this says a lot, but, you know, there is the option always of if we can't afford to keep the WEFT on the air, we have to look at all of our options. And, you know, there was a great commercial station around here, the WIP, and they went virtual. You know, they were on the air,
right.
And now they're virtual.
Right.
And, you know, it's not what we want to do, but we have to. That's why we're resolving to keep it terrestrial. But just so you know, like every option is being
on the table.
So we resolved to consult with professionals, including bankers, property managers, and or real estate developers to determine plans that include A, keeping the building and creating another income stream from the building, B, leveraging the building for operating cash, and C, being prepared to sell the building. And again, you know, we don't want to go down those roads, but as a board of directors, the board of directors felt that they had to, we have to explore all the options. We can't be caught by surprise.
Yeah.
So just consulting with those professionals. Four, resolving to develop a new funding model that includes less percentage of its balance on pledge drives and traditional grants. So this is the thing that the NFCB recommended, was that most models of community radio have a one-third, 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 which is one-third through grants and one-third through listener members and one-third through underwriting. And along with the grants are also considered major donors. So major donors are in with the grants. So you get your major donors and grants, one-third underwriting, one-third listener members. And so, you know, this is sort of, you could say, the root of the problem, although some finances are often just the indicator of the problem. But if we had a bigger listener base and membership, and if we could really increase that, well, then, you know, that would be our one third. And then if we could do one third, and really we only had $8,000 in underwriting last year, and our goal, just to say, this year is $30,000.
Yeah.
And I think it's very achievable. We're using a new underwriting model, which will be here coming on the air soon, which is basically that many underwriters just underwrite one show. And so you only hear them once during the week, even though they've paid, you know, decent money to be on. But from now on, we're going to also have an option where you're in a rotation.
There
so
you
all
go.
the underwriters are in a rotation. So at the top of every hour, you will hear some underwriting, just a brief 30-second announcement by that underwriter.
And well worth it if they're keeping radio alive. So
absolutely, yeah. it's a win-win situation for sure. It's a decent price for their for them to be able to have the exposure and for us to have the support.
What's the grant landscape look like? I mean, are grants drying up? Are they not available? Are there more grants that just are hard to see? And I mean,
well, I would say at WEFT we are. We don't know the answer to that because we relied so long on the CPB grant that we knew was going away, but we didn't feel like we could reach the thresholds that were being required. It used to be that if you raised $100,000 in non-federal money, you could get the CPB grant, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which was the $50,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 grant that we got every year, and we just really relied on that.
Right.
And then that moved up to $300,000 that you had to have in order to get their money. So that is where. And then Illinois Arts Council didn't pay us for last year's grant yet, so we're waiting on a $5,000 or something from them that we hope will come when the budget impasse comes, and it'll be time for the second one. It's the next one, same time. But we have briefly, as the Rapid Response Team, which I'll talk about in a minute, identified a couple of other grants that would be really good fits for us. But our underwriting is what I'm looking at right now as the low-hanging fruit. I can't really – we don't have enough staff to expect them to be able to do grant writing right now.
Right.
And we don't have –
you don't have a sales team going out to get underwriters either.
Well, we're about to.
Okay.
We're about to.
This just in.
Yeah. It starts. Yeah. Really starts at the first of the year. We just got the approval of all the material so that we know what we're selling. We know selling isn't the right word, but we know what we're presenting as the underwriting options, and we have a new staff person hired, a 20-hour a week admin person to help assist me, who is going to be at going out and doing the underwriting sales until we can get her up to speed with figuring it out, till it evolves into something else. So we're focusing first on the underwriting to get the station really solidified so that we don't have that negative deficit this year.
Right.
That's our goal.
And also does good for the awareness of the station when you get more people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every interaction with the university, every interaction with, you just have to be a WEFT advocate and talk about it all the time. All right. So it is 20 till the hour almost. And I want to remind you that you're listening to WEFT Champaign. Not that you would miss that since that's all we're talking about here. At 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associates, station managers, or Prairie Air Incorporated. All right. So, going on with the resolutions here, let's see. Resolve to develop a brand and promote WEFT around local concerns and productions. This is a biggie. Because every community radio station that we're looking at, well, let's just say it this way first, that the one thing that WEFT can offer that any place on the web can't offer is local, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are local web offerings, like the News Gazette is the number one website around here. We love Smile Politely. It's a great website. And Shambana Moms is a website that people get newsy kind of stuff from, although it's certainly not news per se. You can get any kind of music on the web. You can get you can get folk music on the web, believe me. you can get but what you can't get is local. And so to really understand that we have to move WEFT to a lot of – that's why most radio stations, community radio stations that are successful have local public affairs, local news. And we really have to think beyond beyond our limited vision about how that can happen. And so the idea of collaborating with WRFU, collaborating with UPTV, collaborating with WILL, all the other places that are producing local media that are in the public sphere, that's one thing we'll definitely be looking toward.
You know, one of my dreams is that somehow local reporters would be able to be syndicated locally. Mm-hmm. So you would go on WEFT, you would go on, your story would go to WIL, your story would go on RFU, your story.
Yeah, how Danielle and I have really thought about that is WRFU being a sandbox for WEFT and WEFT being a sandbox for WILL as soon as, because the cost associated with producing something on WRFU is so low, hire at WEFT, hire at WIL. But if we can get that programming, I just use Disability Beat as a great example. We produce Monday night, Vicki Nieswander, who is also our board chair, does a great half-hour show, Disability Beat, on issues of people who have disabilities. And there is no reason that shouldn't be replayed on WRFU right now.
Exactly.
Absolutely no reason. And there's a lot of collaboration already happening between UPTV and WEFT. The Dave Monk's Sunday program is the Prairie Monk is broadcast there.
I think also World Labor Hour has a slot on Sundays at 3 o'clock on UPTV. Dave Johnson told me he's still
okay.
They're sometimes doing a rebroadcast of shows, but he's had that.
What
slot.
Is their visual with that? Do you know?
What do you mean visual?
Well, it's on TV. What are they showing? Because they're not in here.
It's more talking head stuff, but then they also show movies, documentaries as well.
But they produce it as a TV show?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, you know, yeah. So, and then there's like, Dave Monk's show is actually videotaped here while he's making radio, which is another way to do it.
Right.
And I think there's one other.
What comes to mind is Sean Williams from Unity in the Community on Sunday. I mean, on Sunday mornings, he's here in the WEFT studios from 8:30 to 9:00, but I think he also has a time slot on UPTV. I think also Bishop Underwood and Reverend Underwood have a time slot on UPTV.
Right. But those aren't produced at the same. Yeah, they're not the same show, but they're the same people doing.
The idea of people on WEFT, you know, expanding. Outlets.
Right. Well, it takes a lot to produce a really quality show. And you're going to spend a lot of time doing it, you don't want your listeners to be just, if I can't hear you right at that time. So that's why we're expanding this idea of making it into a podcast, collaborating with other media outlets so you can get it played there. So if you're taking the time to make a quality public affairs show, let's make sure that it gets heard. And so can we play it more than once on WEFT? Can we play it on WRFU, on WYLL, UPTV? That's all being explored. So I'm going to go ahead with our next resolution. Resolve to evolve our programming so that we have more sustaining members while staying true to our mission. And next, resolve to clarify our mission, which we're going to talk about. I hope I've only got 15 minutes left, so I'm going to come back to that. Resolve to work with other community organizations, especially other public media, to share resources and bring more voices to the air in a fiscally responsible manner as possible. Resolve to commit ourselves to making the volunteer experience at WEFT a positive experience. Resolve to empower a rapid response team that can act to carry out the above resolutions without getting approval for individual actions, but rather by developing a plan and a budget that are adopted by the board, and then reporting on adherence and success with that plan and budget to the board on a monthly basis. So that is happening now. Al Kurtz and Vicki Nieswander and I are part of that. We are the three members of that rapid response team. And it says the RTT will include three members who will make decisions by consensus when possible. The board chair will be one team member, and she appoints the other two. And it said what our qualifications were. I'll skip that. Resolved that the plan that is formulated and carried out by the RTT will be called WEFT Vision 2020 so that we can convey to our community partners, that's our underwriters, as well as our members and associates, that we are directing changes at the station that will carry us into the future with innovative and sustainable strategic plan. So we are really working hard on thinking about what that strategic plan is going to be. And we kind of have September this coming year, 2016, in mind as the date that we will be really kind of unveiling and implementing and thinking about all of that. I want to talk about survey that people will be asked to take, we hope, in February. So
how will people get access to the survey?
Well, through our website, for one thing, okay. But we're going to have, we're going to hopefully be enlisting this U of I class to do our market analysis for us. So it's a marketing analysis class that will be taking our suggestions and our needs and figuring out how they can do a quote-unquote market analysis, how they can figure out what is our mission, what do people, we say we're community radio stations serving the community. Well, what community are we serving, and we just need to look at all of that again.
Right. And are they going to be administering a survey of their own, or will they take the one that you have?
Well, I think that all I've done is researched what other people have done so that okay. We don't reinvent the wheel. So WORT has a great survey. If you want to look what it is, WORT in Madison is WORTFM.org, I believe, is their and if you put in their little search in the upper right hand corner, their little search bar, and put survey in there, then you can look at what their survey is. But they ask, for instance, how often do you listen to the following types of radio program: music, sports, news, political talk, culture, variety talk, and other? And the answer: never, rarely, occasionally, frequently, daily. What station do you listen to the most? Which one second? What kind of music do you listen to? And then they list, you know, classical, folk, jazz, blues, hip hop, Latin, pop, international, R&B, indie, oldies, experimental. How often do you listen to audio media via radio, podcast, streaming online, archive? How did you first learn about the station? Do you donate? How important are the following? I like this. Lack of commercials, in-depth news coverage, intellectual stimulation, quality programming, program host, local news, programs not available elsewhere, variety of music played, and public access to airwaves.
It sounds like WEFT all the way.
Yep. What would you like to hear more of? And then they list international news, political talk, local news, music, call-in shows, variety, what you would like less of, what do we play the right amount of. Please check the category that describes your education, your income, and your gender and your age. So it's pretty basic, but what we're hoping is that they what the proposal was from the brief study that the U of I made a business plan for us was that we need to have it available on our website, but we also need to do telephone interviews with random people in the community, and we also need to do on the street interviews. So go out and really hit it and see if we can get. WORT got 700 people to take their survey. So I'm thinking that's a doable thing, that we should be able to do that, you know, and really get and then we have to pay attention to it. You know, we have to listen to what people say.
Well, it's an exciting opportunity for listeners to design their own community radio station and have input. Not that you don't have it now, but I mean, the more specific those questions take you to the heart of the matter and give you a chance to help design this station to better serve you.
So. Mm-hmm. I will give my WEFT email address out, which is weft90.1@gmail.com. And I would love to have your suggestions and input from what I've offered you today. My name, again, is Sandra Auten. I am a board of directors member, but I'm speaking today on behalf just of myself, but yet relaying a lot of things that the board has brought to you. This is a once a month. I think it's the last Saturday of the month is my Saturday. I'm on alternate Saturdays. You can hear other things at this hour. One of my hopes is that we can have solid public affairs programming on the weekends, that we can offer music in the evening. This is just an opinion of mine about how programming could develop, is that we could really the NFCB says you kind of got to get rid of the patchwork quilt ideas of how programming has done in the past, which I know as it's so integral to WEFT that we have patchwork quilt, that when you look at our grid, you see that, oh, you can have hip-hop here and you can have folk here and you can have jazz here, whatever.
I which is my preference, by the way. I like surprises, changes, and even disjointed transitions. That's fresh and alive radio. But you're saying that the research is showing that you got to be a little more organized than that.
Well, you do somewhat, you know. Yeah. So other places do have their, they still, NFCB said that, but then when I go and do the research, it doesn't look to me like it's certainly exclusively strip, you know. Right. It's which in non-radio, for you non-radio geeks out there, which means that when you look at the program grid, you see a whole strip, like our jazz is all day long from right. 12 to 1 on the weekdays, and the blues is 12 to 1, jazz is from 9 to 11 in every day, Monday through Friday, so that's a strip.
Right.
I am not convinced that that total strip programming is the thing to do. I think we need our patchwork quilt too, but I think we need it in an organized manner, you know, so that they kind of can figure that out.
Well, unlike a lot of folks, I mean, everybody's got their preference, but we should say the bias on this particular radio program about WEFT is that you and I are both news junkies.
We
would lean toward wanting the public, you know, the community radio station to have more news.
Well, one of the
local
things,
news,
yeah.
I
well,
say.
And one of the things I really wanted to get to here today, let me just see if I can find it, is a description of a job. I'll find it here in just a second. Of a job that was posted for WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana. They're seeking a passionate, community-minded journalist to work as our assistant news director. Our news department reflects WFHB's mission to, quote, provide an open forum for the exchange and discussion of ideas and issues and to celebrate and increase the local cultural diversity. So that's kind of what, you know, their mission is. The majority of this job is covering local government in Bloomington and Monroe counties. The ideal candidate would report not only to what is discussed at government meetings, but also to what is not discussed and why.
There you go.
And to me, that right there is the heart of community radio.
Or what it can be.
And, you know, and to journalism in general that needs to happen at a local level. You can't get that from following mainstream media. You can't get it just haphazardly on the internet. We need people talking about what isn't being reported.
Right.
And it's why I, you know, loved working for the Octopus back in the day, why I loved being a part of IMC Radio News, why I loved being part of the Public Eye, and why I believe that WEFT needs to stay on the air. And I love art too. I'm an artist, I'm a painter, and my husband's a musician, and I support the arts and I value it, and I want a place for that also. That's important for me, to why WEFT is here. For the community, public affairs, for the service of making sure that we know all the great things going on in our community. And I don't even have time to talk all about that. But part of our news programming and public affairs could be that we have a vibrant community calendar. We haven't had one since the Octopus went away. Before that, we had what was called the Progressive Calendar. That was before the internets. And then we had the community calendar that was in the Octopus, which was, again, before the internets, basically. Mm-hmm. Very little was done on the internet then. And we really, you know, we have art coverage by Smile Politely, and we have some music calendars out there and some public affairs kind of calendars. But unless you want to go to the News Gazette website, which isn't really a great offering of calendars and certainly not from a progressive point of view, we really have a gap in that. So I think WEFT could make its place in town and have a real presence on the internet with a vibrant community calendar, which then feeds our public service announcements and our mission of supporting the underserved and the underrepresented.
Yeah.
And the calendar could really be a bedrock of our local news, because you can find a headline to, like, what would be reporting on now would be reporting on the rogue officer who needs to be taken out, right? We would probably report on that and keep people updated about that from a point of view that they're not going to get in mainstream media. And in the meantime, we could be announcing what happenings are going on and when the rallies are and when the Black Lives Matter meets. And, you know, and then occasionally we're going to get those people interacting with us in here.
There are a lot of non-for-profits and there are a lot of activist groups that could really benefit from a calendar like that, because they need to get the word out at their events. There was just recently a demonstration in front of the Champaign police station regarding Matt Rush, the officer Matt Rush, and There was over 200 people out there.
I know. My brother said, were you at a... he saw me on the news. I was like, oh, yeah, that was me.
But wouldn't it have been great? And I think, you know, some of that was done on this... you know, WEF did play a role in helping to organize that particular press conference.
That's right.
And this is where a public and community radio station can really serve and help organize our democracies, right, which we're talking about.
Right. So we got 5 minutes left in the program, so I need to really take time to make an appeal to you. If you believe in community radio, it really is time to step up to the plate. Of course, we're going to have our pledge drive in the spring, but right now is a great time to donate. You can get your donation in and still take your tax deduction for this year. And I want you to consider really what the value of community radio is to this community and how you can contribute to that. We really do need your participation on so many levels. We are looking for board members who really not just are going to give lip service to being a board member, but to really want to show up and help do the research and help do the fundraising and to show up with having thought about the issues in between the meetings. We need board members. We need people to be part of our programming committee. We do operate through a programming committee that has elected and appointed. But right now, you could come to the board meeting, which meets, look on our website, weft.org, about when all the meetings are. But our board will be nominating someone to the programming committee. So if you care about public affairs programming and want to get a news thing started, well, believe me, we are going to need you on the programming committee now. So even before, you know, the groundwork happens transitioning to a new programming format, we have to have people who care enough to go research how WORT does it and how Bloomington does it and how we can communicate with the IMC. So there's a lot of places to volunteer, but I want to say that we're not going to be relying completely on volunteers as we have in the past. One of our visions that will, I'm sure, be part of WEF 2020 vision is to figure out how we can have enough finances to staff up here. We really need to have every community radio station that's thriving has a staff of 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 people. And it takes a lot to run a community radio station. And we shouldn't expect people to give 20 hours a week to and not be paid for it. When we limit ourselves to just volunteers, you're limiting yourself to people who are retired or people who are unemployable in large case, which I love you all, unemployable and retired people, but we need vibrant, thriving, the middle, I don't know what is the population between that. We need people who have business experience, who have public news, other news of affiliations and all kind of experience with fundraising and with goal setting and you name it, we need you. But mostly, could you give a few bucks to help us make those positions fundable? We did just hire a administrative assistant here at 20 hours a week, and she's going to be kind of doubling up as the person who's assisting me with underwriting and starting our volunteer coordination program with interns at the university. So we're just taking so much action, and it's happening really fast, and we're loving the excitement of it and the possibilities and really dreaming big. I'm dreaming so big I want to get the CPB funding back. That's how big I'm dreaming.
there's no
reason why not to. Those other stations who are thriving, they didn't lose their CPB funding more than likely. And, you know, so yes, it's a threshold that seems far away, but I'm ready to research it. I'm ready to figure it out, and I'm ready to figure out how to make that happen or something the equivalent. There isn't any reason that we have to think of ourselves as a station that is limited by our past or by our present. But what do we want to be? Because we can be. We know Champaign-Urbana can support the alternative. We know that we have enough people who care enough about, passionately about issues that are going to be ignored in the rest of the state and often in the rest of the country, right? But we know that Champaign-Urbana is able to do that, to support other counterculture kind of things.
I mean, since the Octopus in 1990, it has been an alternative newspaper. Since 1981, when WEF came on the air, there's been an alternative radio station. And so the community needs alternative media, yep, and homegrown, community-oriented media, and it's never been better than on WEFT, and
right,
bringing, you know, people and money back, you know, center it around here and get the, you know, programming and the keep the station alive. I just can't imagine Champaign-Urbana without WEFT.
No, we're not going to. All right. Thank you, Chris Evans, for helping me today and being my co-host here.
Thanks for having me on.
Good. And you've been listening to WEFT Vision 2020. And I'm going to read two public service announcements. Remind you that you're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. Remind you that there's some great singing and dancing coming up. The Open Traditional Song Sessions happens on January 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. Sing traditional songs and songs in the tradition with other like-minded folks. Meeting in the hallway of the Common Ground Food Co-op at Lincoln Square Mall. Irish Rebel Songs, Scottish Love Songs, Appalachian Murder Ballads. For more information, call CU_Shantes, that's C-H-A-N-T-E-Y-S, at madden.org. M-A-D-E-N.